In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do please sit. I could just say it's more important to mean it than to say it, and then we could get on with the service and get all the sooner to coffee, because you might say that that is, if you like, the theme of today's gospel, and it's also reflected in the letter of James, and it's sort of set up for us in Deuteronomy, the reading from one of the Old Testament books of the law, which is the basis of the law which the Pharisees and some of the scribes in today's gospel subscribed to. We did, of course, use these extraordinary words of the Ten Commandments to provide a context for our confession, and we in our confession, we referred to having broken the Lord's commandments, God's commandments. And the Ten Commandments have a much less central position in the life of most churches these days than they did even when I was young, and certainly in my parents' generation. This church, I think, until they got handy with the emulsion paint, had the Ten Commandments painted or up above the arch there, just to remind you. And if you go to Rise Home, three out of four Sundays under the old regime, two out of two Sundays in the new regime, they have the Ten Commandments. Sometimes we abbreviate it to the Lord's summary of the law, which is a comparison that I'm going to make in a couple of moments. So the Ten Commandments, if you like, has been sort of at the heart of teaching the discipline of faith for a very long time. If you read today's Good News for Nettleham, you'll see that I'm talking about catechesis, which means the training of people in the faith, the education of people in the faith. And we have to remember the word discipleship is used rather in a rather woolly way today, as meaning being a sort of inner love-in with Jesus, closer and closer. But actually it means being a pupil. It means being taught. It means being open to being taught and continuing to be taught, continuing beyond baptism with that teaching. But in the past, I think that the Ten Commandments were one of the things which were part of catechism. And if you go on to the Church of England website, indeed, if you go onto our new website and click to the appropriate bit under what we believe, you will come to a section on the catechism, which is basically the core questions that you must ask somebody if they intend, as a person of discerning years, to be baptized, or if they wish to be confirmed, what it is essential that they understand, know, and believe. And you would have been asked to learn by heart the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, and the Apostles' Creed. I just quietly raise a finger if you were asked to learn those when you went, when you were at Sunday school. Some people here were taught those, and they become your faith. And to understand them. Now, it won't surprise you, because you know that I am a bit of a wishy-washy liberal, that I have a bit of an issue with the Ten Commandments. Not that I think that they aren't important and wonderful, but literally they are quite difficult for us in the 21st century. They are, if you like, the code of hygiene and social practice for a Bronze Age nomadic culture in the Middle East, and as such, they make a huge amount of sense. They are also the core of the faith in which our Lord Jesus Christ was born, and which, if you like, was the most important part in forming him. But there are things about the Ten Commandments that I find jar somewhat. It won't surprise you what some of those are. I'm not saying that I think we ought to be allowed to murder or we ought to be allowed to steal. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I have difficulty with what is implied by thou. And here I think we're only really in church talking to the men. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. The wife isn't getting included in the law except as a possession of the husband. Oh, don't mean possession. Well, actually, I do. Nor his maid, nor his ass, ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is his. I can't, with all honesty, stand here and say that. I know that that sounds like anathema. It sounds a challenge to faith. But unless I have got my major qualifying brain engaged, I can't comfortably say that. So what do I do? Because the Old Testament is so wonderful, it's a history of God's growing relationship with us, it's a history of God's salvation. I do what I do in so many other things. I turn to the New Testament. I turn to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was asked, challenged by the Pharisees, challenged by the people who based their entire social and religious and political life on their following of the word of the law. I turn to what Jesus said, yes, I follow that. And he gave a very clever answer, because in one sense he gave an answer in which he said there are two basic commandments and the rest follow on from them, or they are subsumed in them. But actually what he said quite challenged a lot of what the Ten Commandments actually said. So what he said was, the first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So there's a lot in the Old Testament version about being a jealous God. I don't know that. I think jealous is a pretty difficult word to work with. I think we have to really unpack it before we can comfortably describe God as jealous. I think God is above jealousy, personally. What we have here is no equivocation about the central importance of putting God first, of loving God with your soul, with your mind, with your strength, with your heart. And so Jesus says, put God first. Don't qualify God as being angry or vengeful or even positive things like forgiving and loving and things. Just put God first and listen to God. And then Jesus says, the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. Now, you could say that if you love your neighbor, you won't damage the life of your neighbor by stealing from them or murdering them or committing adultery with them or their loved ones. There's a whole range of ways in which you could say it was subsumed. But in this, he is putting love before the law. Love is what Jesus is saying is the second commandment. So both commandments are love. One, love God. Two, love your neighbor. And then Jesus says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That is great, and it it shut up the Pharisees and the handful of scribes. It would shut up the those that see a forceful interpretation of the Old Testament as driving their geopolitical agenda, as some of you may have heard on the radio this morning. It will force us to live not as adherents of the law of Moses, informed by the law of Moses, but not as adherents to the law of Moses, but as followers by his example, by his love, by his gifts to us, and by the grace that he has given to us, as adherents and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, in which loving God and loving your neighbor and being true to yourself is the means to achieve righteousness. Not by washing your hands at the right time, not by throwing salt over your shoulder at the right moment before you do something. So many people have been brought up in a life which is about a discipline based on rules rather than a discipline on change of mind and attitude. How much safer we are in our bringing up of children if what we teach them is to be good people rather than to follow good rules. How much they will more likely they are to stick to that and live it out in their lives. I have to confess that I was brought up in quite a strict way on certain things, including strange household rules derived from the Old Testament rules. The washing hands before meals, which of course is perfectly good sense, and washing food, I still have a little bit of me that rebels against. I have moments with a frisson of independence that comes over me when I think of my mother as I creep to the fridge and pick up a little tomato and eat it without washing it. And I haven't died yet. But it's not the rules that make us who we are. It's not even really the rules that save us if we are intelligent people in world of hygiene and of society. It is the transformation of ourselves into thinking, caring, and Jesus prioritizes loving people. And that is the message of today's gospel. That is why he says that it's not what you follow in the law, it's not what you put into your body that makes you defiled or righteous. It's what comes out of you. It's what you do, it's what you think, it's what you say and what you believe. And if that is driven by love, love of God and love of the rest of humanity and God's whole creation, you will achieve righteousness. Amen.